BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America as we tackle the issues here on the program. And did you know that today there are many that are taking a scissors to the book of Genesis, denying both the creator and creation itself? But when one does this, they must not only cut out Genesis, but references throughout the whole of Scripture which refer to creation or God's handiwork, even part of the Ten Commandments. You've read the part, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Well, creation is mentioned throughout the whole of Scripture. Could this perhaps be the reason why academia today is so invested in attacking and destroying, or seeking to destroy, belief in creation? Well, joining us today, we welcome David Reeves. David is the president of Genesis Science Network, founder of David Reeves Ministries. He has broad experience in astronomy, paleontology, archaeology. He's written books, produced hundreds of videos and series such as the Wonders Without Number video series, Bible Knows Best, and others. The speaker on the Genesis Science Minute. He's in our area this week as one of the featured speakers at the Creation Research Society Conference being held at Concordia University. And David, nice to have you here in studio today.
It is great to be with you.
Yesterday we had Dr. Danny Faulkner with us and spent a lot of time talking about the moon in particular. You also are a creation-based ministry, as others that are there at the conference this week. But there have been volumes of books written. There have been countless videos that have been produced on the topic of origins, creation and or evolution. Does it really matter? I mean, are we just wasting our time and energy in all of this? Does the topic of origins really matter?
So the topic of origins matters because it actually matters why we're here. If we are just the result of millions of mutations over millions or billions of years, then that affects our morality, right? Why are we here? If we're nothing more than accidents, the result of random chance, if we're nothing more than animals, well, then we could act like animals and that would be fine. However, the idea that the Bible is correct, if we trace our origins back to a creator who in the beginning made us distinctly different from all of the animals, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of our creator, well, he has spelled out morality for us. We can't decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. And that's been the lie since the very beginning. Satan said, you know, you can be just like God. You can decide for yourself what's right and wrong, good and evil. And that's very tempting because it puts us in a position of authority and we don't have to be held accountable to anyone. So yes, where we came from matters a lot. And I think that where we came from is spelled out very distinctly in the book of Genesis and throughout the Bible.
Now, we often will have people who will respond to that and said, you know, David, I'm great. I'm glad to know you've got your truth, you know, and but that's not my truth in particular, but you follow after your truth. How do you respond to that? We're seeing that increasingly today.
Well, you see, you really can't say that. You can say that, but it leads to some very serious consequences. So what if it's my truth that it's okay for me to go around killing people? Well, it's my truth. It's true for me, and that's good. So you can have your truth that in the beginning God created and that all life has purpose, is valuable, you should not go around murdering people. But if I can make up my own truth, whatever's good for me, well, something that's good for me may not be good for society. However, if we have a supreme being who created us in the beginning, well, he knows very well what's good for us, and he's written that down. It's very simple. It's not hard, and it is not bad for us either. It's actually beneficial for society to follow the commands of our Creator.
Let's talk about Charles Darwin. Many are following his teachings today. We know that when it comes to his birthday weekend, that we are seeing this massive petition drive going on, and churches that are even engaged in Evolution Sunday and now Evolution Weekend. and seeing them sign on to a statement affirming the teachings of evolution as well as belief in the religious system. But let's first examine who Charles Darwin was. What was his belief system?
Okay, so Charles Darwin was a naturalist living in the 1800s, and most people know that. Most people do not know that he began his studies to become a pastor. Then he realized he liked collecting beetles more than he liked his pastoral studies, and so he jumped on a ship by the name of the HMS Beagle. Well, eventually he found himself in the Galapagos Islands area exploring things. Now, what he was exploring was naturalism as a whole, but he took with him the first volume of a book written by Charles Lyell. All right, Lyell was a geologist. He didn't have a degree in geology, but he was one of the top geologists of his day. Lyell proposed that the rocks were billions or eons and eons old, okay? So Charles Darwin, reading this book about geology and then looking around at all of these rocks and then all of the animals on the Galapagos Island, he's taking it to its logical conclusion. He's like, well, if the rocks are billions and billions of years old, well, then maybe these animals are many, many millions of years old, and they've been evolving from one kind to another. Mm-hmm. All right, so this was just the next step of a logical succession, but let's track it back for 1 second to what Charles Lyell's motivation was. Charles Lyell's motivation when he said that the rocks were billions of years old, self-professed. He said, what I want to do away with is the whole idea that anything that Moses wrote was correct. I want to do away with all biblical principles. This is the purpose of me writing these books. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so now Charles Darwin says, well, if the rocks are billions of years old, maybe the animals have been evolving for millions of years. We see finches, different types of birds, with different characteristics. Some have large beaks, some have small beaks, some have different shaped eyes and different colorations. So therefore, they look like the ones on this island have larger beaks and they can get into the trees better with these larger beaks. Well, the ones with the very pointed beaks can grab insects out of little holes in this island. So maybe they adapted to whatever island they're on, okay? And that's the whole idea of, yes, the finches on one island that are more suitable for that island are going to stay there because they can feed off of whatever animals are on that island there. Okay, so that's a real principle, adaptation. He takes it a step further. He said, okay, well, if animals can adapt in tiny ways, if we can have different species of finches adapted to different situations, which, by the way, is a God-given ability, this is real, adaptation is observable and repeatable. It's built into the genetic code of all life. Well, if animals can adapt in these tiny little ways, well, then let's just give it millions and millions and millions of years, and maybe we could see one animal turn into an entirely different kind of animal. Mm. All right, now, for the very first time, we're challenging what the Bible says, because the Bible says that God created each animal according to its kind, basic animal groups that don't stray. They do have genetic diversity to adapt very slightly. You can have different species. You can have a Cocker Spaniel and a German Shepherd, and you can have different species of finches, mm-hmm. but they're always going to remain that same kind of animal. The genetic variability will not allow a kangaroo to turn into a giraffe, no matter how many millions of years you give it, right? So it seems ridiculous, but a magic ingredient was inserted, time. Just give it enough time, and surely it will be possible. And he was embittered because of a number of reasons towards God, and he wanted to explain everything naturally. So he wrote those thoughts down in a book called On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races, and that book caught the scientific community by storm because for the first time, he had given people a good reason to believe that they were nothing more than accidents, to reject the God of the Bible, and therefore to choose for themselves what's right and wrong.
It's very interesting because many individuals today just refer to the origin of the species. You gave the full title there, and as a result, there is the allegations that he indeed was a racist. Your thoughts on that issue?
So my thoughts on that issue is that he was definitely, he had racist tendencies. Most people have never read his books, right? They talk about Charles Darwin all the time as if he's a saint, as if he's a god himself, but they've never read his actual work. Well, if you read his actual work, not just on the Origin of Species, but also his famous work on the Descent of Man, well, that work, he says some incredibly racist things about some of the observations he made of natives in Fiji and other places where he visited around the world. He was very demeaning towards all sorts of people, women, people of different skin tones. Everybody except himself and his little community he was demeaning of.
Let's look at today's political climate in all of this, because if you have any association with somebody, as, you know, with Senator Byrd from West Virginia or anything else, you know, all of a sudden you're on the, you know, do not call list, so to speak, want nothing to do with you. We have to be segregated from you because of those racist ties, tendencies. But here we have academia today. We've got the college, university scene that are fully embracing him, as they did Margaret Sanger, who was also a eugenicist, a racist as well. I think we've got something that's not quite compatible here.
My goodness, think about it. Because the entire scientific community that accepts evolution at face value, Darwinian evolution at face value, they will not be able to tell you, if they're honest, they will absolutely have to admit that they believe in their worldview that some different people groups are closer to ape-like creatures than others. All right. If that's not a racist terminology, then I don't know what is. But if they're intellectually honest evolutionists, they have to admit that in their worldview, some people groups are closer to apes and some people groups are superior.
Interesting, and yet we see the attacks continue to unfold against even the present administration on issues just like that. Why are we seeing then such a broad following of Darwin? I mean, you have referred to him in some of your writing as one people worship. You refer to the Church of Darwin. Are you just sensationalizing this to make a point, or are people really indeed worshiping this man and his teachings?
Yes, so it really is a worship situation, and I would have to say that most atheists are clearly in support of evolution, or some form of naturalism. Okay, so the intellectual atheist, which, you know, I encounter quite regularly, they will say, we have done away with the need for a creator. We've done away with the need for God. I would posit, no, you have replaced the God of the Bible with certain supernatural deities, and you've put Darwin up to a pedestal, on a pedestal as almost a God that you look to blindly, even when the evidence suggests something entirely different. Now, intellectual atheists are very vehement when you can't even hardly talk to them without threats being called at you. And I would love to talk with you after the break about how they have a pantheon of gods themselves.
David Reeves, our guest here today on Crosstalk, president of Genesis Science Network, and we'll be back with more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have you ever seen drawings of dinosaur-like creatures on rock walls left by the Indians?
Yes, Chris, I have seen them, and they are amazing. People from every continent have drawn pictures and fashioned art objects after the likeness of dinosaurs. These predate our modern discovery of dinosaur fossils, proof that man and dinosaur lived together. Evolutionists, of course, dismiss these as fanciful dream tales. They believe that the amazing dinosaurs, with all their internal complexity and the DNA code, could evolve by chance random processes. Maybe it's easier to think that wind and water erosion produced these dinosaur pictographs on the rocks. I'm being fanciful, of course. but at least the Back to Genesis viewpoint is consistent within itself.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. David Reeves is our guest today, and many of you hear him through our network on the Genesis Science Minute. We're talking about the critical aspect of creation today here on Crosstalk, and matter of fact, talking about Charles Darwin in particular, that we're seeing a rise in atheism taking place. But what you're saying is that these are individuals who are not denying, or who purport to say there is no God, but yet they themselves are perhaps following a different God.
Yeah, Jim, that's exactly right, because they will tell you again and again and again, okay, we have explained the entire natural world through naturalism. We don't need your creator to do all of this. We've explained it scientifically, right? And what they're referring to normally is evolution, Darwinian evolution. Now, I call Darwinian evolution universal common descent, because what was Darwin purporting? He was purporting that everything in the universe descended from some common ancestor, a little single-celled organism in the far distant past, okay? So Darwinian evolution is literally universal common descent, and that's what most atheists will point to as their explanation as how we don't need God, all right? Well, let's look at universal common descent, or Darwinian evolution, for just a second and analyze three of the key components of Darwinian evolution, which I will posit are literally three gods, false gods, that are being worshipped and believed by faith. All right. The first god is the god of natural selection. The second one is time. And the third is spontaneous generation. All right. So they'll say, here's how the universe came into existence. Here's how all of the life in the universe came into existence. You see, nature selects, and through natural selection, Mother Nature will select, and over vast amounts of time, everything sort of just kind of comes together. All right. And they've got all of these scientific explanations for it. You say, well, how can an amoeba turn into an ape, or a molecule into a man? They'll say, well, just definitely nature will select the best traits in that amoeba, and then the next amoeba will be a little bit healthier and a little bit better, and then more information will be added, and before long you've got a man here. All right, well, how could that be? That's a faith-based belief, because it's not repeatable, it's not observable, it's not demonstrable, it's not empirical. Okay, we've never seen it happen. That's a faith-based belief. That, in fact, is a god of atheism, or a god of Darwinian evolution. They've created their own god, a supernatural deity that says it will happen because nature will select. All right, so they've elevated nature to the position of God. All right, now, if you ask, why have we never seen this transformation from one kind of a creature into another? Well, all of a sudden, he's going to invoke his second god. He's going to say, the reason we haven't seen this happen is because not enough time has passed for you to see this happen. Just give it enough time, and time is going to work its magic. All right. Well, now we've got this magical, supernatural deity of time elevated up to a position of authority. So there's two gods already. All right. Now, every new question that you're going to throw at them, they're going to attempt to patch it with another rescuing device. They'll say, well, here's some mechanism that might possibly explain how this could happen. But really, if you boil it down and you say, all right, you say not enough time has passed. You say that nature has a mind and it's going to magically somehow select traits and make things better and better until new creatures have evolved. Well, let's track it back to the very beginning. How did the first life originate? And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, the intellectually honest atheist is going to have to say, well, at some point in the far distant past, non-living matter burst into existence, into living matter. Okay, non-living chemicals became life. Now, Louis Pasteur, this is where we get the word pasteurization from. This was a famous scientist who recognized that in every scientific experiment that has ever been done, life only comes from living matter, from something that's already living. Therefore, that's what we call biogenesis. Genesis meaning origins, and bio meaning life. Okay, so the origins of life is always life. Well, so Louis Pasteur effectively dispelled the notion of abiogenesis, life coming from non-life. He said, well, if all we have ever observed through millions of experiments, because there have been millions of experiments unknown by every random person every single day, he says, if all we've ever seen is life coming from life, life never comes from non-life, well, then it's safe to say that life doesn't come from non-living things. It can't just magically burst into existence. The ancient Greek philosophers thought that life could burst into existence. Non-living matter, things like mud, could burst into existence as frogs, because around muddy ponds you see a lot of frogs. People would see moldy grain and they would see a lot of mice. So they thought maybe the moldy grain was birthing the mice. Mm-hmm. People would see dead meat and they would see maggots. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, maybe the maggots are being birthed out of dead, non-living material. No, life only comes from life, all right? But the atheist, if he has no creator, has to say at some point in the distant past that life came from non-life. There's no other way for this to be possible. The only excuse, and this is a major rescuing device which only pushes back the problem, is they'll say, well, so life comes from life, so maybe aliens seeded life here on Earth, and that's where we get the life. Well, wait a second, aliens would be living matter. So where did the aliens come from? Mm-hmm. So the intellectual atheist says that he's done away with the need for God. In fact, he has replaced God with three of his own gods: natural selection, time, and magical spontaneous generation. All three of these things.
Emphasis on magical.
Magical. They're supernatural. Mm-hmm. So it is a faith-based belief held to with ardor. Okay, and what is the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition for religion? A faith-based belief held to with ardor, okay? It's a belief that can't be tested, repeated, or observed, and you hold to it so tightly you won't let go. We admit, I admit as a Christian, I have faith in God's word, but it's not a blind faith. Mm-hmm. The evidence is literally all around us. All you have to do is open your eyes and you're going to see this evidence. And that's what Romans tells us, right? Look around at creation, right, and you're going to see the creator. The mm-hmm. invisible aspects are revealing God's power, his Godhead, right? All you have to do.
Heavens declare the glory of God.
And, of course, that has been my signature for 12 years.
Yes.
And again, Dr. Faulkner is a good friend. We've worked together in the past. He wrote the foreword to my first book, actually, and was a mentor to me when I first started getting into this. I started taking pictures through telescopes as a hobby, not thinking much about it. And then all of a sudden, I look at these photos that I've taken myself through my own telescopes as a hobby, and I said, whoa, why am I keeping this to myself? This reminds me of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It says that day into day uttereth speech, and night after night showeth knowledge, but there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So what's it saying? It's saying that the heavens are literally shouting out at us that there is a grand designer, and that we are not the result of random chance, accidents, cosmic accidents, the result of 14 billion years of evolution. That is a vast difference in opinion between an evolutionary worldview and a biblical worldview. And I would love to talk to you about some of the implications of that, because I think that's the reason we're seeing so many atrocities like school shootings and suicides today.
David Reeves, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Incidentally, he's going to be speaking this coming Sunday at Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. That's in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, this coming Lord's Day, 10:30 in the morning. They're located on 67th Street in Wauwatosa. Also, the Creation Research Conference continues on tonight, has a session that is free, open to the public from 7 to 9 p.m. At Concordia University. It's in the Pharmacy Building. That's located in Mequon, Wisconsin. And then in addition, tomorrow night from 8 to 10, Dr. Don DeYoung is going to be having a Henry Morris presentation. And if you'd like more information, go to creationresearch.org and you'll get all the details, creationresearch.org. Full day sessions also being held both Friday and Saturday. And you can get the information there, creationresearch.org. We'll be looking into some ramifications, but you have in your most recent edition of the Creation Club, your magazine, you talk about the influence that evolution is having upon television, upon movies today. There are people that are literally being subjected to this and may not even being realized that they are, that they're being influenced by this. It's no accident that these references are put into these Hollywood productions or through network television.
Not at all. There's definitely no accident. Now, one of the reasons that it's used so predominantly in mainstream entertainment is because it's intriguing to ask the question, where did we come from, right? Well, we know where we came from. We have a historical manual, a record of the history of the universe. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the Hebrew, it says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. All right, so this origin of the universe, the origin of time, space, and matter, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, spells it out for us. But it's intriguing to think that maybe there's some mystery that we haven't seen yet or that we haven't solved as to our existence. And that's where UFOs and aliens and all of these things come in, which are, again, we see movie after movie, television show after television show, mentioned in the mainstream media. Oh, we found a new planet, and it probably contains life, right? We see these things literally every single month. There is a new headlines in the news that suggests that there's life somewhere out in the universe.
Now, let me just interject. I'm going to have to continue, but how ironic, because here in our country, we can't even determine that a beating heart determines life. You know, a beating heart, and so we have these heartbeat bills that are destroyed by courts in that regard. Can't be sure that that is really life. You know, this is just some substance taking place, pulmonary reactions that are taking place, and yet we're grasping out there for life in the universe.
Jim, I'm telling you what, it is so clear. If you study science, if you study genetics, if you study biology, it is so clear that each individual has a 100% unique genetic code, a DNA sequence. It's like the language or the blueprints that makes us who we are. 100% unique. Not from the day of birth, no. From conception.
Yeah.
All right? And this should be so clear. And so you're absolutely right. You cannot seem to determine in government what life is, and yet we can be sure that there is life out on some distant planet or maybe some microbes on Mars or something like that. That should be the least thing in our discussion right now. We should care for the inhabitants of this world, right? The tiniest ones who cannot speak for themselves, and we're not doing that. And we see abortion on the rise. I'm telling you, we've got a serious situation, and it all points back to the creation-evolution debate.
Yes, and we're going to look at those implications right after the break and also be opening our phone lines to give you opportunity to ask questions on this topic today. So be ready to call in, formulate your questions, and be ready to participate. David Reeves with us. We'll be right back.
We live in a depraved world with sin and corruption all around us. There are many temptations to lure us away from our walk with the Lord. How do we stay clean, pure, and righteous in such a time? In Psalm 119, we are reminded of the importance of hiding God's Word in our heart to protect us from succumbing to sin. But memorization is difficult for many. This is why Thomas Meyer, known as the Bible Memory Man, has not only devoted many books of the Bible to memory, but he has also put together the King James Memorization Study Bible where he breaks up every verse in the New Testament by phrases to assist in the scripture memory process. A helpful appendix also provides a list of important scriptures to memorize, from sin to salvation, in 10 verses. The Memory Study Bible New Testament is available for a donation of $20 or more by calling VCY, 1-800-729-9829.
With us today on Crosstalk, David Reeves. He's president of Genesis Science Network, the founder of David Reeves Ministries, has produced a number of video series, Bible Knows Best and Wonders Without Number video series, a speaker on the Genesis Science Minute, and also puts together a magazine. We referred to this moments ago, this Creation Club, in which you're writing this current month about the impact of evolution on TV and movies, and that's a whole program in itself. I know we could go down that road there, but your magazine, not too many pages long, but how is it our listeners can get a copy of it? How do they subscribe to it? Tell us about it.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a short magazine, all full color. We started doing this a little over a year ago, and it's 100% free. Just go to davidreeves.com, davidreeves.com, and click on the free Creation Club magazine logo. And that will take you to a little sign-up form. Just put your name and address down, and every month in your mailbox, you'll get the latest edition of the Creation Club magazine. We try to keep it fairly simple for the layman. We do have a few technical articles, but mostly very simple science, Bible history, a few children's activities, mm-hmm. and then ministry updates.
Again, davidreeves.com, and that's R-I-V-E-S, davidreeves.com. So let's talk about some of the implications here, because we are living in a world that is not getting better and better. When we see what is taking place right outside our doors here on the streets of Milwaukee, but we have just seen the disrespect for authority taking place in New York, dousing buckets of water over New York police officers. We see the over 60 million children killed by abortion, not to mention all the chemical abortions taking place. We see what's happening with the whole LGBT agenda, the drag queen story hours that are going on in the libraries. We could just go on and on with these issues. How is what we're observing today, how does this tie back to this critical aspect of creation origins?
So I think that it's very critical and that it all ties back, because what we're seeing with the disrespect for authority points back to our disrespect for our Creator, the ultimate authority, the God of the Bible, okay? I think that the abortions points to disrespect to his moral law, which tells us that we shouldn't be murdering each other. I think that the school shootings and the other atrocities that we have seen in the recent past, those again point back to evolution, because after all, our children, the majority of our children, not only in school, high school, but throughout university, even kindergarten, are being taught that they are just highly intelligent, highly evolved animals. So what is one animal killing another animal? What's a lion killing a gazelle? That's life, right? But humans are different because they're distinctly created in God's image, fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. That points back to the creation-evolution debate. And then very seriously weighing on my heart is the suicides that we see going on, right? 22 veteran suicides every single day.
Right.
Every day, 22. And teen suicide is on the rise. If only people realized that they're more than cosmic accidents, the result of 14 billion years of star stuff coalescing. If only people realize that they have a Creator who fashioned them, who formed them, who loves them, who wants to have a relationship with them, who cares for them, that they are not animals. If only they could realize that, what an impact it would have on society today. It all points back to the origins debate. Where did we come from? Can we trust the Bible, not just in the New Testament when we read the gospel message, certainly, but from the very first verse? Because if you can't believe that you were created and that mankind fell into sin, then what do we need a Savior for?
David Reeves with us here today on Crosstalk. Our telephone number, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Taking your questions today here on Crosstalk as we're speaking of the critical aspect of creation. David, if you had to give the church a grade on where we stand on our creation literacy today and on these issues, how would you describe the state of the church?
It's pretty appalling. And I can't blame the church members at all. But I do think that the pastors haven't seen, the majority of pastors haven't seen the importance of this. Okay. So I would encourage the pastors who are listening today, this is much, much more relevant than you may have ever thought in the past. I'll give you an example. So my brother and I formed, our ministry a number of years ago, and we formed a branch of the ministry called Genesis Science Network. It's a free, 100% free, 24/7 streaming online network with good science content, all from a Christian perspective. Okay, now this doesn't seem like an overtly gospel presentation, right? And yet we have people calling in, emailing in all the time. I had a man email in. He said, David, I've been watching Genesis Science Network for the last few months. He said, it finally gave me the courage to start a Bible study in my local church on the book of Genesis, on the historical accuracy of the book of Genesis. He said, my unbelieving grown son decided to attend one of those classes that I gave, and he later accepted Christ.
Praise the Lord.
This is more relevant than we could ever see, because if you can't trust the Bible scientifically, what it says about science and what it says about history, then it is turning off our young ones, those in high school and college and even much earlier now. They think that the Bible is irrelevant. If you can't trust it in science and history from the very first verse, then why should we trust the gospel mm-hmm. message itself?
Yeah. Folks, we're taking your calls today, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Micah calling from Pensacola, Florida. Micah, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to kind of say something else about the idea of Christians. I understand why evolutionists don't accept the Bible and why they believe in evolution, because that's all they accept is naturalism. But when it comes to Christians, we have God's Word. God's Word is the absolute ultimate truth, and it makes sense that if Genesis is not true, then we can't trust any other aspect of Scripture, especially when it comes to our salvation. Because why did Jesus come? He came to save us from the original sin. If Genesis 1 through 11 is a myth, then there is no such thing as original sin, and so there's no reason for Jesus to come and give his life on the cross for us. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and thank you both for your ministry.
Thank you, Micah. He's exactly mm-hmm. right. This challenges everything. But you see, the atheists, they have no basis for anything. It's only what they can observe. And that's the reason that they go to what they've been taught. Even though you can't observe evolution, well, the majority of scientists in universities are professing the religion of evolution. Therefore, the atheists go for that. But we don't have to trust observation, our theories. We actually have the book that tells us the origin of the universe.
Amen. Thank you, Micah, for the call. Let's go next to Chris calling from Franklin, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, I had a question about discernment. In Genesis 2:17, it says, in the day you eat of the fruit, you will die. And those are the first two occurrences of those two words. So why is it that the medicine woman is called the liar and Yahweh not the liar in that verse?
So I believe that you're referring to the idea that Adam and Eve did not die the very day that they ate of the fruit of the tree.
Right, because it says bavoyim, that's the Hebrew word there.
Yeah. So if you break that down into Hebrew there, it does say at the very end, if you look at the Strong's numbers, you're going to see 4191, H4191, twice at the very end of that verse, which most Hebrew scholars believe the double instance or the double occurrence of the word die, die, which is translated surely die, it means that dying you will begin to die. So it was at that moment that she chose to disobey God's one simple command and began the process of dying.
Thank you for the call here, Chris. Leonard is next in West Virginia. You're on the air, Leonard.
Yeah, I think the main problem we're having is they're teaching it was a big bang and then evolution. But understanding frequencies and wavelengths, the big bang didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, as frequency goes up, the wavelengths get shorter. Red is the lowest frequency and biggest frequency particle in the visible light spectrum. As we go up in frequency and down in particle size, violet is the tiniest frequency particle in the visible light spectrum. As these particles go to other particles, it's easier to deflect and attenuate the smaller frequency particles.
What about this Big Bang?
Yeah, so the red shift many times is pointed as evidence of vast ages of cosmological time. And basically, when we talk about a red shift, we're thinking about it's like a Doppler shift. So let's just imagine you've got an ambulance coming down the road, all right? You hear the siren change frequencies as it gets nearer to you because the sound waves are being compressed and stretched, right? All right, so that's that frequency change that we hear. Same thing happens to light waves. All right, so there was a man by the name of Vesto Slipher in 1918, I believe it was, who noticed that certain distant galaxies had this redshift. And he said, whoa. So what this means is just like the ambulance that has the frequencies has changed, it sounds different as it moves away from me. Well, the light spectrum, the spectral banding have these stretch marks, which means that that galaxy is flying away from us at amazing speeds, right? He didn't realize what he was seeing at the time until another man, a Belgian Jesuit priest by the name of Georges Lemaître, came in and he said, wait a second, Vesto. What if, instead of galaxies randomly flying away from us, what if the entire universe is being stretched out? Well, guess what we find about 12 different times scattered throughout the Bible? God stretched out the heavens. He stretches them out like a tent. He stretches them out like a scroll. All of these references to stretching, which may have been talking about something that happened during creation week where God placed all of the matter in the universe on the fabric of space-time, just like Albert Einstein proposed, and he rapidly stretched those things out. But everyone has taken this way too far, and they've said, so therefore the Big Bang is true. No, the Big Bang, if we follow the Big Bang's conclusions, it means that the Bible is not true. Because if the Big Bang is true, then Earth would be one of the very last things to be formed. We know from the Bible that Earth was the very first thing, one of the very first things to be formed. The order of the sequence is all off. So we can either trust the Bible or we can trust the Big Bang. And yet, the Big Bang has so many problems. Why would we compromise?
Leonard, we appreciate the call. You led us into an interesting discussion. We'll pick up more calls after the break. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. David Reeves with us. His website, davidreeves.com, R-I-V-E-S. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon Hausch. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Americans must identify the enemy if we have any chance of self-defense or even victory. And many Americans have no idea that the greatest enemies of our nation have changed their name and infiltrated some of the most powerful institutions in America at the level of politics, economics, and religion. One such group is Hamas. They were started in the 1980s. They're a terrorist organization, no doubt about it, connected to Muslim Brotherhood, which was involved in the final Holocaust. And my friends, they hide under many names in America. CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, and many others. If we do not understand who the enemy is, what their name is, if we cannot identify them, we cannot defeat them, much less defend ourselves against their attacks. This is exactly what my docu-movie, Sabotage, is all about. Americans had better wake up.
And we're going right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Well, that is right after we tell you again that if you're in the local area, David Reeves will be speaking this coming Sunday, July 28th, 10:30 in the morning at Wauwatosa Bible Chapel on 67th Street in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And also the Creation Research Conference continuing on through all day tomorrow and Saturday. You can get information at creationresearch.org. There are a couple of free sessions open to the public. One of those tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. at Concordia University, the Pharmacy Building. Also tomorrow night, Dr. Don DeYoung having a special Henry Morris presentation beginning at, I believe that's 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. creationresearch.org for all the information. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Cody, who is calling in from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Hi, Cody. You're on the air.
Hey there. So I am a millennial, and you had talked about, like, young people and how we are losing faith. And I guess I wanted to... You had kind of put the blame on pastors a little bit and the generation itself. And then you kind of talked about the LGBTQ community and how these are all kind of issues and not opportunities. So I guess with the language you used, it felt like you were giving up on us and not so much us giving up on the greater power. The way I see it is, like, there's so much research coming out that says to be a whole human being, that we need to believe in something bigger than ourselves. And I fully agree with that. To be a good person, to be a good human being, you need to believe in something else.
Yeah, and Cody, we're going to have our guests that address this, but it's not important just to believe in something that's bigger and more powerful than us, but it's identifying who that is. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, Cody, and that's a good point, is that we're definitely not giving up. I am one of those millennials that that we've been talking about, and... I have clearly researched so many different issues regarding science, and all of those different issues, from astronomy to geology to biology to genetics to archaeology, we could go to paleontology, we could go on and on and on, are pointing to complexity and design and to a designer. And that's when you have to ask yourself, well, who is the designer? Because you could easily point to design and say, well, the designer is an alien or some other god of some other religion. But we have to specify who is the designer. Well, we're actually given a historical record from the designer himself. And he tells us how he, not only that he made everything, but how he made everything. Now, does he go into... the most minute detail in some areas? No. But he tells us how he made the universe and why he made the universe and what he wants for us as his final creation. And what he wants for us is to have a relationship with him. When I use telescopes to look at the universe in all its vastness, it's easy to understand just how massive and unfathomable the cosmos really is. But that means that here we are, tiny little creatures on a tiny little planet floating in a massive universe. And yet, we have a creator, a designer, who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to this tiny planet to offer us forgiveness for our sins and offer us eternal life with him. That's what the Bible is all about. It takes us through from the very history of the universe back to the good news of the gospel and what we can expect in the future if we trust in him.
Cody?
Yeah, I'm here. I agree with you and the vastness of everything, like, it to the point of, like, why does it matter? You know, we are a speck on a large planet, and we, in the timeline of the world itself, we are minutely important.
We're almost out of time, but Cody, let me ask our guest this question. David, we kind of dealt with this from the very beginning. Why does this matter? Are we just that tiny, insignificant speck in this point of history, or is there something greater?
Yeah, and really the reason that it matters is because it does point to not only our self-worth, but our view of our fellow man, right, of other humans. And we have seen that Darwinian evolution, this idea that in a massive cosmic timescale of 14 billion years, that we are nothing more than cosmic accidents, star stuff that coalesce together. We've seen that taught, and we've seen the negative implications of that. And I'll give you just one example because we're very short on time. Joseph Stalin, leader of the Soviet Union, official records indicate he killed several million people. That's official records. He was walking with a childhood friend one day when he volunteered a pre-revealing statement. He said, you know, they're fooling us. There is no God. I'll lend you a book to read that will show you that all this talk about God is sheer nonsense, and the world is quite different from what you've imagined. His friend said, wait, Joseph, what book are you talking about? And Joseph Stalin said, Darwin, you must read it. In other words, Darwinian evolution, the idea that we're nothing more than cosmic accidents, the result of millions of years of random mutations, leads to an atheistic worldview, which also leads to the idea that we are animals that can do what animals do, and that's kill each other.
And keep in mind, Cody, and just to reiterate what David has shared just moments ago, and that is you're not just this insignificant particle. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, and that includes you, Cody, that he gave his only begotten son, that, Cody, if you believe in him, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you so much for the call today. And we do apologize to the other callers as well who've been holding for some time, and we're not going to get to your calls today, but David Reeves has been in our studio. Again, his website, davidreeves.com. That's R-I-V-E-S. And they can ask for your magazine, go to your website, and the name of the magazine?
The name of the magazine is thecreationclub.com, and you can go to the website or call. The phone number at our office is 931-212-7990, and you can get the magazine and also ask your questions that you didn't have time, and hopefully we can get back with you.
Again, their phone number, 931-212-7990. David, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim, so much for the opportunity.
And friends, we hope some of you in the area will be able to get out to hear David on Sunday or attend some of the conference over the next couple of days. But again, check out the website. You'll find many, many materials, davidreeves.com. That's R-I-V-E-S. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. And indeed, origins do matter. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.